Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimelo Modine. It's our Tuesday edition of Point of View. So we're going to have a conversation with the Deputy Minister. You may know him. I think he goes now by they. We'll just clarify that. Or as she. We'll clarify that. And that's exactly what the conversation is going to be about. Our Mbizo today is about gender identities and binary. Many of us sometimes I think inappropriate and getting it wrong and are offensive actually. And so we're just going to go into a conversation about how are we supposed to navigate and how we should navigate this space in identifying people the right way and how do you ask the questions, all of that. So as you know, many were celebrating the appointment of Deputy Minister of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, Steve Letsike, because Steve Letsike has been an advocate for many years for the LGBTQ plus community in South Africa, done tremendous work, and really that community was celebrating the appointment. And so we're going to talk to Steve about, you know, what needs to happen in society, what Steve's job is going to be in government, in parliament, you know, just as a minister, and how Steve feels that we need to advance the rights of people living with, well, not disabilities only, because that's his portfolio, yes, but also the LGBTQ plus community. So we'll have that broad conversation. And it's also an opportunity for you to ask questions. You know, you don't have to be completely comfortable with it. Some of the tough questions, Steve will be very willing to answer those questions, to navigate how to address those things. It's just really part of the conversation. It's going to happen just after 9 o'clock.
Point of View with Pimelo Modine on Kaya 959, on the street, on the air.
So you may have been following the story of now Minister of Justice, who is said to have benefited from the VBS, some money from VBS. It's a long paper trail, and someone who's done all the work, and I just wanted to get a better sense of how this money was followed to the Minister of Justice. It was just somebody that I thought, you know, has done all the work, and I thought it was important for us to follow the trail. Paulie van Wyk is that person, investigative journalist at Daily Maverick, who is on the line with us. Paulie, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for agreeing to explain it and simplifying for us. Thank you very much for making time for us.
Good evening for you always.
So Paulie, I just want us to kind of start, you know, mapping who these individuals are and how the money eventually gets to a company that, well, seems to have been linked to the minister and gave her a loan. So I just want us to identify the key players in this. There was an individual who was given a contract by VBS to, I suppose, go find investment funding, right?
Yes. So the key player here is Raliom Razwanani. Yeah. He is the owner of Gundo Wealth Solutions. Yeah. So you are completely correct. The Motown Workman's report into VBS Mutual Bank described Raliom and people like him as commissions agents. Now, the report then found that these commissions agents were acted unlawfully when they connected the municipalities with the bank. Mm. So any investments from a municipality into a mutual bank is unlawful, yeah, and a contravention of, yeah, the Municipal Finance Management Act. Yeah.
Because I think that's the key part. That should not have been, there should not have been a relationship between a mutual bank and a municipality. So that transaction in itself is just in itself unlawful.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so this individual, who's, let's call them a middleman for lack of a fancier word, is the one who actually does these agreements between the bank and the municipalities, and allows for the municipality essentially to, I'd call, invest in the bank.
Yes, yeah, you've got that right. So the two investments here specifically relate to a 50 and an 80 million rand investment. But the total investments Polokwane made into the VBS Mutual Bank was 349 million,
yeah,
rand.
Yeah. And this happens between 2016 and 2017.
Yes. The first two that I just spoke of, the 50 and 80 million, was all in 2016.
Mm. So then let's follow the money. This individual is, as you are saying, is the one who is the middleman who connects the two parties, and some money goes into municipal money, our money, well, the residents of Polokwane's money. It's taken and invested into the bank. However, somehow along the way, there are what we're now seeing as kickbacks. So a commission, will we call it a commission?
Yes, absolutely. Commission in quotation marks, because it was already found to be fraudulent. Mm. And the national prosecuting authorities, prosecutors, wrote an indictment against Razwanani to say that these were corrupt transactions.
Mm, mm. And how much money was starting to flow from the bank to this individual?
So the first payments were around 500,000 to 700,000 rand to Razwanani. Mm. But in total, the Mutal report found that 24 odd million rand was paid out by BBS Mutual Bank to Razwanani.
So then let's link the monies that he's getting to a coffee shop in Sandton that's linked to the minister.
Yes. So we spoke about the first two investments, the 50 and the 80 million rand Polokwane paid into VBS. Then VBS paid commissions, which we already know the prosecutors think is corrupt. Mm. So commissions to Razwanani. And then of those commissions, 35% of those commissions that Razwanani paid to a company that owned at the time Solvana's coffee shop in Sandton.
Mm.
And that is the coffee shop the minister then took ownership about.
So this Rikovit, which is the company that owns the coffee shop, is she the sole company owner or how do we link it to her, the company?
Yeah, interesting actually, it's a good question. She overtly seems to have nothing to do with the company, Rikovit. She's not a director. We're trying to find, the ownership of it, but it doesn't seem as if she owns the company. But in that, from there, she took ownership of this
coffee shop.
Yeah. So in effect, it was a sales agreement, and that's why she told us, the minister told us, that it was a legitimate loan, commercial loan agreement, where she loaned money on her version from Razwanani's Gundo Wealth to pay for the coffee shop, and then she was the owner of the coffee shop.
And the Gundo Wealth, who she then told you was a registered financial services provider, except that's not true upon your checking.
Absolutely. So she did say Gundo is a financial service provider, and when we checked, it is true. But there's a snag here. So the minister explained that all was above board because the loan was given to her by a financial service provider.
Yes.
Now, there are two problems with that.
Mm.
To your point is that Gundo is not a registered credit provider.
Mm.
And that is a big problem because legitimately, a company cannot give out a loan and legitimately seek to get that loan back when it's not a registered credit provider. So there's legislation around loans, and she couldn't, the loan was void in terms of our law. And the second point that I think is important is the minister is quite silent about a huge conflict of interest in a Polokwane mayoral days, where firstly Gundo was appointed by the Polokwane municipality as a financial service provider.
Yeah.
And then strangely, the minister appoints the same company to give herself a loan, a loan in quotation marks, because I think we need to ask serious questions about this loan that hoists a lot of red flags. And those two points are really important when we evaluate the legitimacy of this loan.
Because apart from the Razwanani, we need to then speak and focus on the Gundo, who are the people who facilitated the loan to the coffee shop. They were appointed by her at the time as a municipal mayor who had already appointed them in the municipality for services rendered for the municipality. And then she goes and seeks a loan for herself, her personal use.
Yeah, absolutely. So It seems so. There's an investigative report relating to this specifically, and it seems as if Gundo Wealth was appointed legitimately to Polokwane to render financial services through a process.
Mm.
So we know that she's not the only person who had signed off on it, but she definitely had a say, and she's the mayor of the municipality. Mm. So involved in that appointment first would have, I imagine, be a committee that may have included some of the financial managers of the municipality, and then the mayor is the ultimate accounting officer of that municipality. Now, then the problem is that she appoints to herself a service provider that is a service provider to her municipality, where she holds enormous sway, and now gives her a personal loan in a personal capacity as well. And the thing that connects her and this company and the municipality is millions and millions of rand flowing towards DBS Mutual Bank, and awkwardly then money that we directly link from the kickbacks from DBS Mutual Bank.
So, Paulie, even if we, you know, we try and say, as she says, we stick to the story that this is a financial service provider and they are within their rights to do that work, and we are questioning legitimacy because they were not a registered credit provider, therefore they should not have been giving her a loan, there still is the question of the fact that she did accept, and she has admitted to the fact that she took this loan. So that in itself, whether she sees it as a conflict or not, is problematic.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You summarize it very well. And what I further find troubling is that a Minister of Justice telling us that there's no conflict of interest when all of us can see there's a clear conflict of interest.
And this is someone who is obviously, who presides over the NPA. Someone who's overlooking what has happened with VBS overall. What does this then mean for her? Because we have the report by Advocate Terry Motau. We have the testimony by the bank chair, VBS, a former bank chairman, who's now entered into a plea bargaining deal, and all of that. What does this then mean for her?
I think she needs to really answer very hard questions. So the first thing is that the minister has oversight over the VBS investigations, but also has oversight over the Zondo databases, the Zondo Commission's database. And we know that there's trouble with the NPA accessing that database as well. Now, on the minister's version, she says it was all legitimate, it was above the board deal, and there was nothing wrong with it, and that she welcomed scrutiny into her private and official business affairs. Now, the problem with that is when we did scrutinize, when we did ask very pointed questions, asking for dates, asking for information, asking for repayment schedules, proof and evidence that she did repay the loan, she was simply not forthcoming with it. So, yeah, so it, and then the next step is, what is the presidency doing about this? The minister, in any other democracy, when she's got oversight over the justice sector, would have stepped down and said, well, the public surely cannot have faith in me and my independence as a minister when there are these unsolved mysteries and questions hanging over my head. And the same goes for the president. What are we going to say when we're trying to get off the grey list? You know, all of us understand, and all of our business is much more difficult, made much more difficult because of the fact of grey list that South Africa is placed on. And in particular, the international community tells us that South Africa is a danger to the world's financial system. But now we're sitting with a Minister of Justice who seems to be linked to a very questionable VBS loan.
Appreciate your time and explaining it so thoroughly to us. Investigative journalist at Daily Maverick, Paulie van Wyk, listening into that conversation, is Action SA's parliamentary leader, Ethel Trollope. Thank you very much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thanks very much for the opportunity to talk to you about this matter.
You want to take this forward. I was asking Paulie, what then happens going forward? You are saying no, you need this to be looked into, and you feel that the next thing to do here is, what's your next step? Let me just maybe ask you directly.
Yeah, sure. Well, look, we've done a few things. First of all, when we read the article, and obviously written by Paulie van Beek, the alarm bells went off in my head because the so-called loan was made as soon as the commission started flowing to the brokerage. Mm. Now, immediately, I believed that we needed to do something differently, so I wrote to the public protector and asked for an urgent inquiry or investigation into this matter. Because, you know, whatever the minister might say and whatever the president might say, they've got a woeful track record in this regard. Everyone in government in the last 10, 20 years during state capture said they had nothing to do with it. But we know that state capture took place. So we can't have individuals saying they are, you know, without guilt. Mm. And I did, at the same time that I wrote to the public protector, I also wrote to the president. So the president knows that we are asking for this investigation. And if the investigation doesn't happen, there are many other levers that we will use, including going to court and litigating to make sure that there will be an investigation, because it's clear that the minister's digging in her heels here.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you know, the president will come under pressure to do something about, it's his appointment. He appoints ministers, and we've got a minister who clearly has got something to answer for here, and if she wants to be evasive, that's fine, but there must be a proper investigation.
Yeah.
And if she is found to have benefited from illicit cash flows from BBS, then a couple of things have to happen. One, the president must fire her if she doesn't step down. Two, there must be charges preferred against her, and the National Prosecuting Authority, of which she is in control as the Minister of Justice, must then prosecute her. So they obviously can't do that while she's the minister, and that is why we are pursuing this avenue. We want the public protector to do her work. We want the president to be on notice that we are waiting for an outcome of this investigation. And thereafter, if they drag their heels and nobody wants to do anything about it, which has become synonymous with the current government, then we will litigate and we will use every lever of parliament to hold the minister to account. Because in a democratic, constitutional democracy, the Minister of Justice is one of the most crucial positions, because they preside over the judiciary, which is the third arm of government, which brings independence and oversight and accountability into government.
I was going to say, you know, if the public protector doesn't move, or maybe moves very slowly, if you don't get a response from the president, I suppose you're going to be using your position in parliament. Are you going to write to the speaker to table this matter? What's your plan there?
Well, look, you know, I can't embark on a whole lot of plans at the same time. So I'm giving the public protector benefit and space to respond to my communication. Mm. If she doesn't do that in a reasonable time, I will then obviously use other levers available to me, to the speaker, motions, a letter to the speaker. We will introduce debates. Yeah. We will ask questions, written and oral questions, to the speaker and the president.
Yeah.
But as I said, if we have to litigate, we are prepared to go and litigate. I had a meeting on Monday with the leadership of my party to discuss litigation. We've got people on standby. We've got a legal team. We will litigate in this regard, because this goes to the nub. And incidentally, I heard Paulie saying, or you saying, that there was the NPA was having difficulty accessing data from the state capture report.
Yes,
I wrote to the president 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, I wrote to the president, and his office wrote back last week to say that they have now promulgated regulations related to the NPA and the Independent Directorate getting access to this data, so that they can now start prosecuting people implicated in corruption in the Zondo Commission. So I was quite euphoric about that. I thought, okay, now we can move. Now we can see some, you know, prosecution. Only to have this matter fall in our lap today. So we have to stand up and we have to stand firm on this.
Sure. What would you regard to be reasonable time when you say you'll give the public protector reasonable time?
Well, look, if she hasn't responded to me by next Monday, then I am going to pursue other avenues.
At least an acknowledgement, right?
Yeah, and at least an acknowledgement, an undertaking to investigate or to give me an explanation about what steps they will take.
I really appreciate your time. Action SA parliamentary leader at Trollop there. They're going to be moving very quickly on this one. Have already written to the public protector, have also written to the president. They want either of them, at least one of them, to at least respond very quickly. Otherwise, they will litigate.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.